Network. We've got our 92.3 The Fan pregame coverage. We've got our network coverage. We are all over the place tonight, as we are for each and every Browns game, as we've been for the past few years. It's outstanding. We love being the home of the Browns, and we love being able to bring you all the content you possibly need when it comes to the Browns, who will open the preseason tonight with Shedeur Sanders as their starting quarterback. And obviously, Shedeur probably wouldn't normally be in this spot if the Browns didn't have injuries. Joe Flacco sitting this one out. He's healthy, but the Browns have chosen not to play most of their starters. We'll get into that at some point during the show. Kenny Pickett is hurt. Dylan Gabriel is hurt. And I think they just believe that. And obviously, Deshaun Watson is hurt. But Tyler Huntley, I think if Tyler Huntley, and you tell me if you agree or disagree with me on this, Dan, and I know that Daryl Ryder would agree with me on this because we talked to him about it yesterday. If Tyler Huntley was up to speed and had only been here more than 48 hours, he probably would be getting the first half of this game. But that's not the way it shakes out. Shedeur Sanders will get the start. And so do you agree with that? Let's start there. Do you think if Tyler Huntley was healthy, he'd be starting tonight?
Absolutely. And I only say that because I want, and I think the Browns think the same way that we all are with a lot of this. We want Shedeur Sanders to succeed. And I think every Browns fan could say, we want Shedeur Sanders to succeed. Why? Because if Shedeur Sanders succeeds, that means the Browns may possibly have a quarterback. And that's what all of us want. That is the odyssey that we have all been on for 26 years. So if that's the number one thing with this. If Tyler Huntley was here, yeah, he would start. Why? Because the Panthers are going to play their starters maybe for a series or two, and then we'd see their second string, and then that way Shedeur Sanders can go up against the third and the fourth string. And that way he can look good, he can build some confidence, but hey, that's not how the dice fell. Opportunity arises, let's go.
If I'm Carolina, I don't know how long I'm leaving my first team defense in. I don't. What do you gain if you're Carolina, if you're going up against the team's third string offense and you're the first? You know what I'm saying?
Like, feel good.
Just feel good. Okay. Yeah, we feel good. We beat up vibes on the team's third string offense. I'm getting them out there. I'm getting their work in, and I'm getting them off the field if I'm Carolina tonight. There's not a lot of messing around with my starters. I know they want to play their starters tonight, and that's fine, but they're out, and they're out. Like, you're on the field. We're going to do a drive, and as long as you look somewhat successful, you're off the field.
My guess would be it's good vibes mixed with getting used to, okay, this is the play call. This is what it's going to sound like. This is how we're going to operate, like, on both sides of the ball. It is getting those reps when you've got people yelling in the stands, and it's kind of a little bit tougher to hear than it is at practice, no matter how much, you know, gray noise you shoot in there. It still kind of gets you into that flow. Like, I can understand where they would come from and going, all right, let's start these guys. Like, just to get those reps and get those ideas. And on the Shedeur side of things, though, because that's, okay, I know where everybody is pointing.
Right.
Have you heard this discourse floating around that the Browns are not putting Shedeur Sanders in a position to succeed?
You mean overall or for tonight's game?
Just overall and tonight's game. Like, tonight's game just being another example of how the Browns are not putting him in a position to succeed.
Have I heard it? Yeah, I've heard it. Do I believe it? No. At the end of the day, he's a fifth-round draft pick. He's not a first-round draft pick. He's not a second-round draft pick. I can keep leading you on with more numbers. I'm not doing that. Tell me a team in the NFL that's setting their fifth-round or lower quarterback in a place for success by not playing them and giving them the opportunity to learn. A fifth-round draft pick, the best way to have success for them is to kind of understand what the system is, how things work, where you're going with this thing. I think that Shedeur Sanders, I'm hoping the man, he was the steal of the century in the fifth round. I'm hoping for that. And he's going to get, here's the thing. I mean, he's extremely lucky. He's getting the chance to show us what he can do tonight. So I know people probably don't want to hear this, but the organization's going above and beyond on this one. He's a fifth round draft pick at the end of the day. It's hard. You know, it's hard. I want him to be great. I'm not against Shedeur Sanders. That's the whole thing. But if you're saying, are they putting him in a position to succeed? Well, fifth round draft pick. The way to make him succeed is to make sure he knows the system. So when he's ready and the time is there for him to get the opportunity, which most non-first, second-round quarterbacks that haven't been picked out of the first or second round don't get that opportunity. unless it's mop-up time at the end of the game. I mean, he's got a golden opportunity tonight. And yes, he's got to face adversity. He doesn't have the best wide receivers with him. He's not going to have the best offensive line with him. Is he going to have the best running back? No. But they're giving you a chance to go out there and show how hungry you are, how good you can be against the first team. If Shedeur Sanders goes out there and lights it up with this offense against their first team defense, hell yeah, you got an argument coming up on Monday. People are going to be like, why isn't Shedeur Sanders? And you know what? You're right. You're right. I give it to you. But your point on are they setting him up for success? What fifth round drafted quarterback is set up for success this early in their career?
It's a great point. I mean, it's the great thing that has come with this is they're like the people who are out there defending him saying that this is a poor situation. I don't think they totally understand the situation. And maybe it's because I've got Mike Martz in my head. Remember we had my coach Martz on probably about 2 weeks ago that was. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, four-way quarterback competition, I'm here for that. But let me add in the fact that it's probably not.
And guess what?
The cream's going to rise up really quick.
Can I say one thing? Like, competition, that doesn't mean it's not a weighted competition.
Yep.
That doesn't mean it's going to be a fair competition.
Exactly.
It's going to be a competition the way the people who are writing the rules of the competition want to see it play out.
It's a great point.
It's not, they said this was going to be a quarterback competition. Nowhere did I hear the word fair.
Yeah. They didn't exactly go, this will be a quarterback competition. Here are the rules that we will be competing under. Like, they did not present any of that to anyone. They just went, yeah, it's going to be a four-way quarterback competition, and we'll see where it goes from there. They could be competing for the starting job. They could be competing for the backup job. They could be competing for the third-string job, and they could be competing for the practice squad.
It's like that stupid Brady Bunch movie where the Brady's won the newer one. Well, I guess newer isn't that new, but, you know, the Brady's won the contest. Because they came out and sang, but there was no way they were better than anybody else. Yeah. But the monkeys happened to be the judges. That's why they won. I'm telling you, that's what this contest is.
So
it's the same thing as that.
So I'm with you. This whole thing of Shedeur Sanders not being in a position to succeed and all of that kind of stuff, I think is utter hogwash. And the other person who had the exact thought was Dan Orlovsky. And he went on Twitter and said this, and he said it beautifully.
Will everybody stop with the Shedeur Sanders is being set up to fail narrative? Who do you want to start the game? It's preseason week one. First option, Joe Flacco. He's played for like 20 years. He's not going to start preseason week one. The next two options would be a Kenny Pickett or a Dylan Gabriel. Both are dealing with hamstring injuries. Neither has practiced a ton recently. If they've done anything, I believe it's been 7-on-7. Who do you want to start the game? The next two options are Shedeur and Snoop Huntley. Shador's been there. Snoop Huntley just got there. So while Shedeur may not have had reps with the ones, what else do you want them to do in Cleveland? It's an opportunity for him. It may not be the ideal opportunity. Very rarely is it for a fifth round pick, but it's an opportunity for him to go out there and do in a game what many have reported he's done in practice. Stop with the setup to fail narrative.
I honestly, that's the first time I've heard that.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
It's exactly how I feel about the whole thing. This guy's being given an opportunity that no other fifth-round pick is being given. There's no setup to fail. There's only setup to succeed or setup to show where you are. Setup to show what you've learned. The expectations for Shedeur Sanders at this point throughout the NFL are low. I'm not trying to go Phelps without Phelps being here, but he's right. The dude fell to the fifth round for a reason. So they're saying, let's see what this looks like. Let's see how he looks in the huddle. Let's see if he can get the plays out. Let's see if he can make 2 to 3 really nice throws. Let's see if some of the habits in college and maybe be broken. Maybe he's not fading as much as he was in fading right the way that he was in college or holding onto the ball too long or any of that kind of stuff. Let's just see where this stands. And you know what? If we all come back here on Monday and go, this dude needs to get more reps, then my guess is he's going to get more reps because it's the preseason. There are reps to be given in preseason games, especially now that you get 2 runs of joint practices. I mean, there's a reason why he didn't play that much in joint practices. Why? Because he's going to play 50-some-odd snaps, according to Kevin Stefanski.
There you have it.
Let's go. I mean, that's my whole thing with this. I don't understand this discourse to save my soul. I don't understand why people are saying that he's being put in a position to fail. I don't understand any of it. Jason Fitz had this to say on a lose-lose situation. He said this on the Yahoo Sports podcast, and I was listening to this morning, and it just made my head spin.
This is, to me, the ultimate lose-lose for the Browns. Let me be clear. I'm not anti-Shadur. In fact, I'm rooting for Shadur at this point. I think the narrative has gone so far the wrong way on Shadur. I would love Shadur to come in and absolutely crush it, but this is a lose-lose for the Browns, because if he goes in and he's absolutely terrible, it only feeds everybody that wants to find a reason to hate Shadur Sanders. So that's negative portion number one. Also, understanding that he's coming off of missing time with a sore shoulder. How many reps has he really gotten with everybody? Like, all of these things are going to make it difficult.
I disagree. I severely disagree.
Oh, I think it's a lose-lose for the Browns, too. Again, if he looks good.
I don't see it as a lose-lose.
Oh, well, the first, if he looks good, people are going to, I guess if he looks good against their first team defense, then maybe it isn't a lose-lose. If he looks good, maybe it's not a loss.
If he looks good, it looks fantastic. It looks like you might have a diamond in the rough. You may have somebody that everybody goofed up on.
If he looks bad, everyone's going to be like, well, he played with a third-team offense.
Yeah, if he looks bad, you throw your hands up in the air and you go, hey, man, he's a fifth-round pick. He's a developmental quarterback. He's developing. Like, there's a way that you can hand wave anything that is going to take place in all of this. This is not a lose-lose. If anything, it's a win shoulder shrug.
All right, I'll buy that. Wheels is in a car. What's up, Wheels?
Hey, guys. I don't get the point of starting Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. We already know
they're not starting today. You're talking about week one?
Yeah, week one. Okay. I would give these guys opportunities. I'm in the gray on Shadur. You know, if he works out, that's great. If he doesn't, you know, it sucks. But the thing is, you got to start these young guys. I mean, what are you playing for? You're not making the playoffs this year, let's be honest.
Wheels, I hear you. You can say that. Any fan can say that. But are you really going to walk up to an NFL player and go, you know what, you guys are going to suck this year, and we got a first-round draft pick, so let's just suck. Let's suck.
I mean,
let's not be good.
Why not? Like, I mean,
because you shouldn't be an athlete if you're walking on the field thinking we're going to lose and I want to lose for the franchise. It's not good for your own brand.
I'm not saying they should.
Okay.
But in the reality of as a fan and what the expectations are this year, I mean, yeah, Miles wants to win. I get it. I mean, it's Miles Garrett, but he's also playing for a multi-bazillion-dollar contract, which is the only reason he stayed here.
He already got it. I mean, right now, he
probably wants to win as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. But
everybody wants to win. You know who really wants to win? Kevin Stefanski should really want to win.
Yep. Yeah, don't even get me started on him. I think, I don't know. I think he's a mid-level head coach at best. I think we're dysfunctional because Kevin Stefanski, yeah, he's a good head coach. But he cannot reach that next level. Andrew Berry, he hasn't had many good draft picks.
We lost you.
All this points back to ownership.
Yep, it does. Everything. You're right. It's ownership. It's front office. It's ability. It's talent. It's all those things on the field. I get it. Good phone call. Appreciate it. Well thought out. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Shadur Sanders, is he being set up to succeed? He'll start tonight. First preseason game of the year. You'll hear it on 92.3 The Fan. Fan, you know the game's right here tonight on 92.3 The Fan. So if you're out and about and you want to hear the latest, well, Andrew Siciliano's got you covered throughout the game tonight as he'll call play-by-play right here on the Browns Radio Network. He's Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin. All right, so we're sitting here. We're just kicking around and contemplating, you know, are the Browns setting Shadur Sanders up for success? And we heard a couple people talk about that nationally, including Dan Orlovsky. Dan, just chime in on what you thought we heard there in the first segment.
So, main part of it being Dan Orlovsky going, what is this lose-lose nonsense that's floating about here? The kid's going to have an opportunity to go out there and play. Very few, if any, fifth-round picks have that level of opportunity to go out there. If he shows up and plays great, fantastic. If he doesn't, it's a fifth-round pick. He's developing. He's learning. Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports does a fantastic job on Inside Coverage, all the other Yahoo Sports podcasts that he's a part of, brought up the other side of that argument saying this is a lose-lose for the Browns and for Shadur Sanders, because if he looks terrible, then all the Shadur fans will, you know, basically look at this and go, or all the Browns fans, I should say, would say, he's terrible, he's not worth the time. If he looks great, then everybody's going to be yelling at Kevin Stefanski, saying, why hasn't this kid been out here before? And I don't see either of those as losses. I see both of those as being winning situations, because why? I'm on a 25-year odyssey to find a quarterback, Andy. And if this guy can happen to be that dude, fantastic. Let's see more of him to see if that's that guy that maybe we could end the odyssey.
I keep thinking back. Mike Lombardi's haunting me this week because I keep going back thinking about his interview with the morning show, talking about how drafts, you know, are for 2 years away, not for the next year.
Right, because rookies and are bad.
And I keep thinking to myself, we have been so bad that we are banking on rookies all the time. At one point, if the Browns wanted to go into a two-back set before Judkins had all these issues, you could be looking at five rookies starting for the Browns at one point between offense, defense. You could be looking at either Gabriel or Sanders because only one of those guys can start. So there's one. Harold Fannin. You know, maybe you're in a two tight end set with two, I don't know, you're in a two tight end set with two running backs, which I don't think they'll, we never see that anymore, but it doesn't really matter. But it's just for the example. Fannin could be starting. Dylan Gabriel or Dylan Sanders could be starting. Quinshon Judkins and Samson. Again, I know what's going on with Judkins. I'm just using that for an example. Mason Graham and Carson Schwesinger. All of those guys could be starting.
Right.
You know, and if that's the way it is, it's just like, oh, man, it's just, you don't reload like that in the NFL. We've got to figure this thing out at some point.
Correct. This is step one. I hate to say it that way because we've been stuck at step one and have made our way to step two and then occasionally step three to only then fall right back to step one. This is step one of a rebuilding roster. This is how this works. You have to bring in a whole bunch of rookies. You know year one's going to be a little shaky. You're hoping for some flashes because these rookies are no longer playing against guys who are going to go off and become architects and accountants and lawyers and doctors and all of that kind of stuff. You are only playing now against other professional football players. The game is going to move faster. The guys are going to be stronger. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be smarter. Why? Because they're professional football players. That is their job. That is their life. That's why rookies are typically bad. You're waiting for flashes, and at the end of the season, they look better than they did at the beginning of the season. And if that's the case, then this is a success. I look at the same thing with Shedeur Sanders. If he walks out and scuffles today, hey, he's a fifth-round rookie. He's going to scuffle. It makes sense. If he rolls out and succeeds, I'm like, oh, man, maybe you got something that's an exception to the rule. Fantastic. Let's see it a little bit more in preseason game number two when you see the starters in the second string and the third string a little bit longer than the guys who are at the end of the roster.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Unless you did, you have another cut you wanted to play there real quick? I can't remember. I thought we had talked about that.
Ah, we can roll on. Let's
all right, let's take some phone calls. Let's hear what other folks have to say. David is in Chagrin Valley.
Hey, David,
how are you?
Hey guys, I'm on my bike. I'll pull over to the side for you for just a minute.
All right,
fantastic.
So I'm just listening, streaming while riding. So
don't text.
Yes, I drive safely. I let your car do that.
All right, look out for that car. First of all, that's
hopefully
all we hear.
Make
her
a decent cadence.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Now we can hear you. Yes.
So. Just a quick take. You know, RG3 got all the first-round reps. Kirk Cousins didn't. He had a slow maturation, you know, getting the grasp of the NFL. I think Kevin Stefanski got to enjoy the results of that development process. Maybe Kevin Stefanski thinks he can grow Shedeur into a more accurate version of Kirk Cousins.
I like that idea. I don't know if that's true, but I like it. I like it for either.
He should have the first-round reps. Kirk Cousins didn't get the first-round reps. He did just fine.
Again, I ask you, if you're a quarterback and you're going up against a team's first-team defense, is that not a first-round rep? First-team rep.
Oh, sure. He could get killed out there, or he could do great out there. But the point is, for Kevin Stefanski's intention all along, everyone's questioning not whether he should be out there. The question is Stefanski's intention for him that he would have been third-stringer in this game if everyone was healthy. They're saying, why is he doing this to Shedeur? Well, maybe because he's seen it and how well it works before with Kirk Cousins. Maybe he sees something in his development that he thinks he's amazing once he's got his target. Maybe he needs to learn how to get through the reads. Maybe he needs to learn how to...
Totally agree.
Get the huddle.
All right. Hey, David, thank you for the phone call. Please be safe. We're hearing cars flying by at 100 miles an hour. Thank you. Thanks. I don't know. Have we ever had a cyclist call in before?
We may have. They just didn't announce that they were a cyclist. That's cool, though. Be safe out there because, you know, do the best you can because cars try their best. But, you know.
Dan is in Northfield.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, let me just pull over my unicycle.
Okay, cool.
Hold on.
I'm proud of you for being able to balance like that while on the phone.
Dun, 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 dun.
Did you train the bear to do it too?
No, just the kids. So I need to know why everybody's like, come on with the negative. It's football season. Come on. Like, this guy's going to do great, or he's not. But, like, then I hope next week Kenny Pickett starts. Like, exactly. Let's play him up. Get him in there.
I agree completely.
But, are they setting him up to succeed? That's what the question is. If Shador starts, are they setting him up to succeed?
Not my problem.
All right. All right. That's not a bad answer. That Dan, actually, that might be the best answer I've heard all week. Thank you.
This feels like the Jeff Phelps "Don't Let the Millionaires Ruin Your Day." I don't know. It's not my problem. I don't control this.
What a classic.
Let me tell you. I look at this whole thing as just a total, like, all right, let's just see what's out here. Let's scratch the lotto ticket, and we'll see if maybe the $1 million is still sitting on there because we've scratched one part of the lotto ticket. That's all I want with this. Like, let's just see. I want to see if he can get in and out of the huddle. I want to see if there are pre-snap penalties. I want to see if guys are in the right spot, and I want to see if he can process quick enough. That's all I'm asking. Three-step ball out, five-step ball out, play on time. Let's just see where everything sits. And if it looks like crud, well, then we throw our hands up in the air and go, fifth-round rookie, he needs more time. He's a developmental quarterback. Let's move on.
We got six other quarterbacks in that quarterback room. Just throw anybody else out there.
They got bunk beds going on in there, and they might even have hammocks hanging at this point.
Let's go Roman in Canton. What's up, Roman?
What's up, fellas? How we living?
We're large.
Doing well, man.
Good. Just wanted to call, I think, this whole season is going to be throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks. I don't think we can put much weight on whether or not they're putting him out there and, you know, setting him up for success, because as a coach, you're supposed to do that no matter who's under center. So I think Stefanski's not the guy who would, you know, just try and throw him out there to let him fail, especially from all accounts. Guys, I feel like we've heard nothing but good things about Shadir, and like, he was speeding that one time and got that ticket. But other than that, since we've drafted him, I've heard nothing but good things about what he does in the community, what he's doing at the facility, how he is with other teammates. So, you know, these negative narratives about him, I don't know how fabricated they are, but I think we're going to see how he does. And like you guys have been saying, he was a fifth-round pick. If he has a bad day, then that's what happens. If he has a good day, then maybe he takes a step up on the depth chart.
Appreciate it, Roman. That makes total sense. And
can we go back? What are the negative narratives that, you know, all the negative narratives came from the draft, right? Am I missing something other than that speeding ticket?
This is a true quarterback competition, he should be getting more first team reps.
Can somebody stop and tell me what a true quarterback competition is? If the head coach wants to set someone up to win, guess what? They just had a true competition in the eyes of the head coach. I'm so tired of hearing this. Well, how come they're not getting equal reps with the first time? I thought this was supposed to be fair. Guys, this isn't peewee football. This is the NFL. They're going to set it up for the way it's going to be. And when you're paying someone more than someone else, guess what? They're going to get a better opportunity than the other guy. Shador made more money in college than he's making in the pros. Stop with the thinking that it's fair. It's not fair. Sorry, it's not going to be fair. Go ahead. Sorry.
I agree with every last word that just came out of your mouth right there. It's why when these people get really grumpy and go, you need to bury the fact that he's a fifth-round quarterback, I'm like, no, you don't, because that's what's building what you're watching. Like, no, you can't forget that fact, because that's a reality.
Fair is, was it fair when Johnny Manziel took over for Brian Hoyer? Because all the hype was around Johnny Money Manziel, who didn't even look at the playbook. He didn't even, like, over this last week, I don't know why Manziel's creeped back into my head, but it has. It's driving me crazy, and it just makes me think how messed over Hoyer was while he was here. Like, we turned our back on one of our own so we could have this freak show come in here who is still ripping our city and come in here, not read the playbook, not care, and talk about how there weren't enough things to do while he was in Cleveland. Meanwhile, we had one of our own guys that was playing pretty good quarterback. If anybody, was it Dion that said pay the man on a Thursday night against the Bengals when Hoyer? Like, think about what we're doing here, right? Think about what we're talking about. But everybody had to have Manziel. He's Johnny Football. Johnny Horrible is what that idiot was. And we also, and I'd listen to people and they kept digging and digging and digging. And what happened? We made a horrible turn. Like, this franchise has made more horrible turns and bad turns. And I don't want to hear again, the Deshaun Watson, this is on. Guess what? If I'm Kevin Stefanski and I get, out of three first round picks that could have been on the field because I've got a quarterback that can't play at all, that everybody thought was going to be great. He wasn't. And guess what? You set the franchise back a decade. So don't tell me that Kevin Stefanski is a bad coach because of the talent. The talent's not his fault. They traded away three first-round picks and got nothing for him. More Browns preseason coming up after this.